Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, I want to share with you a little bit, a few scriptures, but I want to talk to you a little bit, and in some way this is going to be a reminder for us. In some ways this might be a little bit something new for some. In this whole understanding of God's grace to us, His favor, and this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to turn to a couple people around you and say, you know, God is gracious to you. Go ahead, tell them. God is gracious to you. Go ahead, tell them. God is gracious to you. Yeah. Yeah. Now, some of you wives can add this if your husband here. Just turn to him and say, and I'm proof of it. Okay? Go ahead. Oh, some of you already told him that. Okay, yeah. It's kind of an automatic thing. But, you know, I'll be honest with you. I think sometimes in our journey of faith with God, in our understanding of having a relationship with Him, we know it's by faith in Him that we are saved. But there's these moments where we can find ourselves, I can find myself trying to throw works and good conduct into the mix. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have good conduct. We know that as a Christian, we are supposed to do things differently than the way we used to, and those are supposed to be fruitful good things that speak of our faith in Christ. But there are times that I think we get a little off the mark in the sense that, you know, we try to throw works and performance into the mix as if that now is supposed to kind of overshadow where we've sinned or where we haven't done our best, and we get out the scales and we start to weigh things out. And we know that it is Christ on the cross, Him crucified, that paid for my sin, that pays for all my wrongdoing. Not just outward, but inward corruption in us, where an attitude is out of place, or resentment, or jealousies, or whatever lives in there, sin in us. And I think there's times where we forget, not mentally, but the way that we operate, that we are justified by faith in Him. We are not justified because we bring this resume with us of all the good stuff we've done. I want to talk to us a little bit about that this morning. In Luke chapter 10, there's a story here that Jesus tells about the Good Samaritan. And this is on the preface. We're not going to really talk about the Good Samaritan. I want us to look at what prefaces Jesus telling this story. It says here in verse 25, it says, "Behold, a lawyer stood up." Now, when he says a lawyer, and depending on the translation you're reading from, it would be a scribe. It's a religious leader. It's an attorney who works under and in God's laws. In other words, he's an attorney for the laws of God. So he stands up and he tries to put Jesus to the test. Of course, if you read a lot of the Gospels, you already start to know when they start to put Jesus to the test, you just go, why do you guys keep doing this? You know, why do you guys keep doing this? This is a no-win for you, you know. But it says, "Behold, an attorney of God's law stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" I mean, that's a great question. You know, what must we do? What must I do to be assured heaven and eternal life? It's a marvelous question. It's a question that, you know, we should all be asking or have asked. And Jesus, he answers this man's question with a couple of questions. And Jesus says to him, because he knows he's a scribe and attorney of God's law, he says, well, what's written in the law? And basically, what is your take or interpretation of that law? And so the attorney responds. He says, well, to inherit eternal life, what's written in the law, or how I read it, is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus replies and says to him, you have answered correctly. That is the answer to the question, how do I inherit eternal life? He says, so good answer, right answer, correct answer, and if you actually do this, then you will have life. The conversation could have just been over. Question, Jesus replies with a couple questions. The attorney gives the right answer. Jesus says, there you go. Right answer, go and do it. You'll have the eternal life that you've asked about. But the attorney didn't stop there. Now his fleshy part starts to show up. And we can't just laugh at him and point the finger at him because, you know, it's basically you and I in the story. And he further pushes the issue with Jesus. And he says to him, now, interesting because it reveals his motive here. As the attorney in verse 29 says, desiring to justify himself. Say this with me, justify himself. Now turn to the person next to you and say, this dude's in trouble. Yeah, go ahead, this dude's in trouble. Okay? He's standing in the presence of Jesus, the Savior, the only begotten Son of God. And now he is going to, the attorney, justify himself in the presence of the King of Kings. I mean, when we think about it in hindsight, because we're looking hindsight here, we go, come on, dude. But at the same token, I can be that dude. I can be that guy. You can be that person. And so, here he is, pushing the issue, trying to justify himself, bring his resume of, I don't only have the right answer, but, you know, here we go. So his motive is to justify himself, and he says to Jesus, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus begins to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. Most of you have heard it. If not, you can refresh yourself, you know, sometime later today in your own private reading. Here's a question I want to ask you. What happens when we assume that we are okay and in good standing with the Lord? You know, as we travel along in our faith in Christ, wherever we find ourselves, beginning stage or an immature stage, or we walked with the Lord a long time, or maybe you've had faith in God a long time, but it's never really gotten personal. There really hasn't been growth. It's just kind of been static, kind of just the same. I mean, we might do some Christian things, and we might go to church, but there hasn't really been a growth, a growing in a relationship with him. And so here's this guy, and he's assuming, because he had the right answer, he pushes the issue, and now he's looking to justify himself, like love the Lord my God and love people. Well, love my neighbor. Well, who's my neighbor? And then Jesus begins to tell the story. And the fella finds out from the story, ouch, I'm not really loving my neighbor all that well in the sight of the one who can justify me, Jesus himself. And so here comes this awakening that the attorney, who's a smart guy, is assuming that he's in good standing with the Lord. And he comes to find out from the story, he's not in good standing. What happens to you and I when we assume that we're in good standing in the Lord and possibly we're not in a good standing with the Lord? Because you have to remember, and you'll hear me say this throughout the message this morning, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We are justified by faith in Christ, not by works alone. Will you say it with me? I am justified. Come on now. I am justified. That's it. Kind of sound like a southern church. Would you do that? I know we're up here in the cold. And I am justified.
I am justified.
By faith. In Christ. Alone. Not by my works. Come on, let me hear you say, now that's good. Okay, good. You see, as those who have faith in Christ, we're supposed to do good things. But here's the difference. Doing good things outwardly can look the same in two different camps, because our motive and our faith is what really makes the difference. And let's face it, Jesus looks upon the heart, right? That's what Scripture says. He doesn't look on the outward part of man, he looks on the inward part. So, faith in Christ, because we have faith in Christ, the result of that faith is that we do good works. The good works come after we have faith in Christ. It's just a sign that in supernatural, natural sequence is we have faith in Christ, and because we have faith in Christ, our life changes and we now do good things. The good things don't get us a pass into heaven. It's the faith in Christ that gets us the pass to heaven. This is what Paul wrote about in several books in the New Testament, because there was a false teaching going around that salvation comes by works, not by faith. And Paul says that is not true. Salvation comes by faith in Christ. We don't justify ourselves. You see, that's what the attorney was doing. He was knowledgeable. He had the answer to eternal life, but he still lacked understanding. And he moved to justification by works. Justification comes by faith in Christ. And good things follow us as a result of our faith. See, but on the other camp, good works that look the same, but the motive is different, is that we do good works to kind of build this resume so that we can feel kind of good about ourselves and justify ourselves, to other people that they think we're really great. And then we use that as to justify ourselves before God. Look what happens to people that do that. Matthew chapter 7, later part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, this should get my attention and yours. How many of you have ever called Jesus Lord? Have you ever called him Lord? Come on, put your hand up. You ever call him Lord or pray to Lord? Okay. This should get our attention, because it says not everybody who calls him that is getting in. Now, this is not to create some insecurity for us. That's not the motive this morning. It's not a fear-based, condemning-based message. That's not it at all. It's to say, you know what? When I take inventory of my life, what brings me to personal relationship with him? When I consider my life and my ways, am I bringing a resume saying, hey, I did the best I could, and I kind of did some good things. And I called you Lord. In other words, you know, I prayed to you. And Jesus is speaking here, and he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, in other words, on that day, when we stand before God, on that day, Jesus says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Now think about this. Did we not speak your words, that are written by your Spirit? Did we not speak those words? Did I not tell people those words? Did I not speak those words and read those words or tell those words out loud? I mean, didn't I do that in your name? Building a resume. Now, for those who are believers in Christ, Christians, I mean, proclaiming His word and prophesying is something that should come out of our life because we have faith in Him. But He says here that some are going to call me Lord and they're going to say, hey, Lord, I prophesied. I did this good work in your name. And He says this. They go on and they say, didn't we even cast demons out in your name? I mean, this is spiritual power now. You know, this isn't only proclaiming God's word and speaking His words. Now they're saying, hey, we not only prophesied in your name, we did some really powerful spiritual things. We even cast out demons out of people. I mean, Lord. Then they go on and say, didn't we do many mighty works in your name? Many mighty works in your name? And then Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Workers of lawlessness. Didn't we do many mighty works? Depart from me, you workers. Now, we're supposed to do good works. Don't confuse this. But my good works do not get me a pass to eternity. It is faith in Christ alone and His work on the cross that forgives me, cleans me, and justifies me. My works do not justify me. I should be doing good works as a result of my faith, not doing good works to build a resume to now justify myself to God and say, hey, I prophesied. I cast out demons in your name. I did mighty things in your name. I went to church in your name. I mean, I didn't miss going to a Christmas Eve candlelight service all my life. Lord, I put money in the offering. Lord, I volunteered. I was kind to people who deserved it. And twice to a person who didn't. We build our resume. This is what the attorney was doing. I know the answer to eternal life, but now out of trying to justify myself, I give you this resume. And I wonder when in our life, this work of the Holy Spirit that brings us to an understanding, a tasting of God's grace and mercy. Because His grace and mercy is something He offers us. It's not something I earn. I had a conversation with somebody that I've known for many years recently. And just a brief conversation came up about, you know, church. And he's not somebody who necessarily proclaims to be a believer in Christ. But about church and little bit of his church history and family, and we were going through this conversation, and he said, well, you know, I really try to be a good person. And I paused and I quickly interjected and said, you know, I want you to know, you don't just try to be a good person. You've succeeded at it. You know, our family loves this guy. And we've had good relationships with this man. And he said, you know, I've tried to do good things. As if this is my resume. I've tried to do good things. I know I've done bad things, but I've tried to do good things. And therefore, trying to do good things, hopefully it's enough to get me justified to make it. That's what he's saying. I said, well, you know, because I don't really know if he knows, but I'm telling him what he knows. so I can just drop this little seed into his life without offense, without preaching at him, but just in conversation with a friend. I said, but you know, we don't get to heaven because of good works. And his response was, yeah, it's because of believing. I said, that's right. I mean, it's almost textbook what people say. Well, how do you get to heaven? How do you get, you know, well, I really tried to be a good person. And or maybe they say, you know, I go to church, or I don't, you know, I'm not mean to anybody, or I don't hurt. And those are really nice things. But in Matthew 7, it says we can declare to do a bunch of marvelous things in his name, and many who call him Lord aren't going to make it. Why? Because we try to justify ourselves and bring us a measure of peace to try now to convince God that what I've done and how I've lived, even though I've made mistakes, because we all sin, Lord, but I've really tried to do good, therefore I should get to go. In our human thinking, we just get so tied up in this life about performance. How somebody treats me. How somebody does this. How well did I do this? Therefore, I feel better about myself. And therefore, if I did it. And then if I didn't perform well. And we go through all of these well-being and hoops we jump through. And so it's easy to carry that over into how we get to heaven and how we get to know God. And in the reality, God just says, here's a gift of my son. Because you can't make it on your own. I'm going to make a way for you. And so he pays for my sin, and justifies me to be free from my sin, to step into his grace and mercy through what he did on a cross. Salvation comes through faith. God gives us this grace. Faith opens the grace gift and applies it to our life. And it's interesting that as we experience that, as life rolls along, and we're down to doing this Christian life thing, that all of a sudden we slowly, as we travel along, start to veer off a little bit and get caught in the ditch of starting to measure things by works and justifying ourselves by works. Works are important. They work with faith, but they're not to work independently of faith. They are supposed to be a result of faith, not we do this so that we can get in. Look, we assume that we're okay and in good standing, and there are some who find out that they are not in good standing, and they're shocked. Just for my own life as a man, I don't want that for me in the end. I don't want to stand there and say, Lord, you called me. I sacrificed a lot of things to go into the ministry and teach your word and sacrifice things so that I could help people and go through my list of resume. And that for him to say, what did you say your name was? Williamson. I never knew you. Yet I did all these good things. But I never had a personal relationship with him. See, that's what faith does. It's not just believing God exists. It's that this faith moves us into a relationship with him. And because of this relationship with him, my life changes and good things follow me. But I don't count on those good things to pave the way. Jesus is the only one who paved the way for me, and I have to have relationship with him to get there. Listen, that's good news. You need to smile and go, well, that's really good news. Okay, even if you've believed wrongly about this, and this is like a new revelation to some degree, you need to be really happy about this because it's not based upon your performance whether you get there. Because, you know, there's a lot of good people in this room. I know some people in this room. They're really great people. I also know some of your mistakes. Just like you know me. We're lawbreakers, every one of us. Just some of us haven't gotten caught. We're lawbreakers. We've sinned. Because we sinned, we need a Savior. And we need somebody who can justify us, because I cannot work my way out. I can do more good things than bad. This isn't about the scales. You did more good. Oh, remember that one thing? Oh, that was a really bad thing. Boom. Oh, yeah, but there was this other two really good things. And you go, a little more good than bad. You can get in. That's not how it works. It's that the bad stuff existed. It doesn't wipe out the good stuff, and the good stuff doesn't wipe out. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that forgives us of sin. And it is only Him that makes a way for you and I. So that's the good news. You don't have to be perfect. That's the encouraging part. The reality is, you aren't perfect. And neither am I. We need His kindness and mercy. So what happens when we assume we're okay, and in the end, that's today. It's this. It's kind of this warning going off, going, hey, wait a minute. I've been doing too much focus on the works to get me there and not enough on the faith and personal relationship with Him. The works are just going to follow me. It's like those are the positive symptoms of living in Christ. Having a relationship with Him. You know, sometimes we just assume truth based on, I don't know, what we think, or our human reasoning to deduct whatever's happened in our life and come up with some, I don't know, kind of sort of theology. Or we heard something somewhere from somebody, or somebody who was a preacher or a priest or somebody you respected, and they seemed to be a good Christian by your estimation, and therefore, you know, you felt like they were more of an expert on Christianity than you, and they say something, and it's not that it's all been false, but we just assume anything they say must be truthful. Listen, there's something I want to really admire Peter for. And he gets a lot of criticism because he seemed to be impulsive, and he was, you know, always out there and just kind of speaking freely and getting aggressive and all. He does some marvelous thing, okay? It's in Luke 24, and what happens is this is after the resurrection, and Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and they... You know, they were at the tomb, and they saw the tomb was empty, and then Mary Magdalene had this experience with Jesus before He ascended to the Father, and they were supposed to go back and tell the disciples what happened. And so they go back, and they tell the disciples what happened. And it says that the disciples did not believe what they were hearing. They thought it was idle myth and useless talk of these women. But it says Peter rose up and ran to the tomb. John followed, depending on, you know, which gospel you read. You put it all together. But Peter rose up, ran, got to the tomb first. This is what I admire Peter about. He didn't just assume truth based upon what he heard. He went to find out for himself. When our salvation and eternity, yours and mine, is at risk, don't assume truth. Find out for yourself. I mean, I'm grateful for those of you here who listen to, you know, what I say, and you've got a measure of trust and relationship with me, and I'm so grateful. But I'm telling you, you can listen to what I say, but read it for yourself. Get up, rise up, find out for yourself. Is this salvation by faith in Christ alone, or do I get to heaven by works? And as I put faith in Christ and I stroll along this life and I'm supposed to take inventory, am I still in good standing with God? Is His grace still applied to my life? Is there this ongoing mercy? Or have I taken this faith and I still believe in Him, but I start to build this resume and I find myself in my thoughts, in my assessment of me, am I building this justifying of myself, of why I said something, why I did something, why I chose to help this person, why I chose not to help this person, or, you know, was my busyness more noble than, you know, the need at hand or some inconvenience? And we start to look at our life and our self-talk. Do we find ourselves justifying what we said, what we decided to do, and decide not to do? You see, at that moment, we are now justifying ourselves. Here's a spiritual warning sign. If we catch ourselves beginning to justify ourselves, like the attorney did with Jesus. Wanting to justify ourselves. That when you, if you catch that self-talk, you need to go, whoa, wait a minute. Something's out of place, and I'm getting a little bit off the mark. This would be a spiritual warning sign for me. The moment I start to say, well, yeah, but I try to be good, or yeah, I try to do these. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let it be a sign that we are shifting from faith to works. Paul wrote this to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 3. He says, who's bewitched you? Who has fooled you, you Galatians? That which was started in the Spirit, in other words, our salvation with Christ, faith, work of the Spirit, have you now shifted from what started this faith? And it says, you have now resorted to the flesh, my own works, my own performance. We cannot shift from faith. Faith is what saves us. Faith is what keeps us. Keeps us. Faith is what compels us to do good things. It's a result of our faith. It justifies what we believe, but faith is what justifies us. And it's through faith in Christ alone. It's not by going to church so much. I mean, what's enough? I haven't missed church in 2 years. Well, we won't talk about that 2 years, but in those 2 years, could you have actually been to church more? Well, they have services on Sunday and Wednesdays. Yeah, but did you know that this church is open during the week? We could always want more. We could always stay longer. See what I'm saying? We get on that treadmill, there is no stopping. And we get so far away from personal faith in Christ. We entangle ourselves with this false doctrine. What happens when we assume we're in good standing? What happens when we assume truth rather than finding it out for ourselves? Last question. What happens now when we discover that we have believed wrongly? See, there's something about humanity. When we're wrong and we feel like we could be wrong, we try to come up with an argument to prove that we've never been wrong and we're right. Even in our argument, though it's faulty, if we have the craft of arguing that's better than someone else or the other voice in our head that we're arguing with, to try to come to a peace of mind to convince I won the argument, therefore I am now justified. You ever do those things? Come on. What happens when we discover we believed wrong? Well, if I believed wrong and I believed wrong so long, where have I been? And now we go through all that well-being thing like, oh man, I've been wrong and how can I admit this? And well, now what about my relatives? Or what about someone else who I thought was good and because they were good, I thought they went to heaven. But if they didn't believe in Jesus, did they really go to heaven? Or maybe they did believe. And we start going down this track and all of us. So when we start to build that, we go, hey, it's easier for me not to change my mind and embrace the truth and convince myself of my false doctrine being true. But here's the problem. On that day, many will call him Lord. And he didn't know them. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for me in my life. You see, being a minister, that doesn't assure me of heaven. Are you kidding? Where's that scripture verse? All pastors go to heaven. That's like saying all dogs go to heaven. No, I don't want to. I shouldn't have said that. Now people say, hey, my dog's in heaven. You know, hey, okay. Sorry if you have a cat. No, I'm kidding. No, all right. I'm messing with you. Just relax. Oh, I'm going to get all kinds of emails now. Letters. I ain't going to your church no more. I got news for you. This ain't my church. He's the head. We're the body. And we got to come to grips with the truth. I am not saved by my works. And hallelujah, because I don't have enough works to make it. Only one who was righteous. It was Jesus. That's why his blood matters. It was pure. I have guilty blood. I was born into guilty blood. I come from guilty parents. They're marvelous, but I knew their parents. They were guilty people. I love them. A lot to admire. I'm grateful for my heritage, but they were guilty people. Just like your people. And just like your children's parents. You got it, okay? It's a backhanded way of saying it's you. How do we come to grips when we understand this and we understand that we believe wrong? Will you be humble enough to change your mind? Will I be humble enough to change my mind about coming into agreement with God? Say, I believed wrong about this. Or I've depended too much on works instead of having building a relationship with Him through faith. There's a man in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. I'm going to close with this. Chapter 3 is a man. He's a teacher now. He's a teacher of the law. His name was Nicodemus. You can see in John chapter 3. Jesus has a conversation with Nicodemus. Jesus says, how is it that you can teach Israel, but you don't understand? Jesus was talking to him about being born again. Through faith in Christ, we're born again. He had to explain, no, you don't go back into your mother's womb. I mean, he had to take a teacher of the law who teaches Israel and explain to him what being born again through faith in Christ is like. That it's by faith. You teach us the law, you teach the law, and everybody has to live up to the law. And if you don't live up to the law, then you're a sinner and you're lost. And how do you get salvation? Well, that's all of us. So Jesus made a way. He gave us grace and mercy through faith in Him. Just because grace and mercy was given to you and I, it doesn't mean it's ours until we open it and apply it. Here's Nicodemus, a teacher of the law. He's a smart dude. He's educated. He's intelligent. He knows how to articulate. If a man who has all that gifting, who's way above average, can have knowledge and yet not understand, is it possible? Is it possible? This man who is smarter than most of us in this room, no offense taken, smarter than me, if a man like that could not understand, is it possible? Is it possible that you and I, of a possible substandard intellect compared to his, is it possible then that you and I could have maybe not understood? That we could have made a mistake in what we believed? Is it possible? Is it possible? Can you be humble enough to say it's possible? And that should not create an insecurity. It's that it should create a drive to put faith in Christ and to know Him personally and find Him out for ourselves. And not assume I'm in good standing because I tried. God bless your efforts, but it's faith that gets us there. What happens when I just assume it's true because I heard it somewhere? What happens when I find out that maybe I've believed wrongly? I was a little off the mark. Will you be humble enough to just say, I can't justify myself because, as we quoted earlier from Romans 5:1, I am justified by faith in Christ alone, not by works.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.